This is an Enterprise Time Security podcast. My name is Ian Murphy. I'm here with John Petrie, counsellor to the NTT CISO.
Hello, Ian. How are you?
I'm not bad. It's been a while. Do you want to give people a quick idea of what you're doing now?
Yeah, a fantastic new challenging job. I am a counselor to the CISO for NTT. In U.S. or English terms, view that as deputy CISO. My primary job is the harmonization of all of NTT security solutions across the entire company. When I say companies, I mean 900 companies. And that is a huge challenge to coordinate, navigate politics, navigate solution sets. If they made it, it's in our environment, and we have to harmonize and consolidate in a lot of cases. So it is a challenge, and I'm sure you have specific questions about that. So let's press on.
I've been speaking to Matt Jide about the challenge of bringing together 31 companies with NTT Limited, stabilizing the cybersecurity products and getting a flat platform. And as I know from conversations I've had with you, that's an 18-month journey just to get a board to sort that out. How do you scale that to more than 900 companies with all of the politics, the language, and the culture barriers?
It's a great question. It's a question I get asked by all of my colleagues. We're at RSA this month, and today we're finishing the RSA week, and that's exactly the top question on everybody's mind. How in the heck do you do all of that? How does it work? I took over the job on October 1st of last year, and our first set of challenges was to identify what we have in the environments across all the companies. The good news is that from a governance structure, an organizational dynamic structure, we have 13 operational companies that we deal with. It was somewhat of a routine task to say, okay, operational companies, tell us what you have in place. In the case of NTT Limited, they're brand new. They took 31 companies, smashed them together, and now they're operating as a single organization. They were still in the process of transforming when we started asking questions about, what do you got? Let's be clear, I don't necessarily address the issue of go-to-market security solution. That's really Matt Jide's job as the CEO of NTT Security as a security center of excellence. He's responsible for go-to-market, but certainly we have some influence on providing with him data points of what he can use to determine what he's going to take to market. On the reverse side, we want to drink our own champagne. And you and I talked about this in a previous podcast where we talked about eating your own dog food. Well, it really depends, right? So right now we're trying to figure out how we're going to leverage NTT Security's capabilities and put that across 900 companies internally. That's a non-revenue generation really for Matt. He's got to be careful because he's got to worry about his external clients because that's his mission. I've got to worry about internal, but I want to leverage what I think is good. If it's good for us and it's good for the clients, we want to take advantage of that from a value add perspective.
We both come from a military background.
Yes, sir.
This number of organizations mashed together is the equivalent of multiple army units on a battlefield. In fact, it's the equivalent of multiple armies on a battlefield. We know how difficult communications get there. How do you create a single language for understanding what's happening?
Another good question. I'm going to take a little bit of time to answer that question because it is important. The idea of having a standardized language, a standardized taxonomy of how to talk to everybody of multiple cultures, multiple countries, multiple languages, all of that has an impact. If it was a standard, whether it was CIS or ISO or NIST, we had all of those operating within our companies, and in some cases still do. We are moving towards and made the decision in 2018 that we were going to move away from ISO to NIST. So our common language to talk about security controls, governance standards is NIST-CSF, and on the risk side, the RMF. We've made that decision, and the way we made that decision was we brought all the CISOs into a single room. Getting CISOs to agree on anything is a challenge, but to get 120 CISOs to say, yeah, we agree, is really a challenge. But we ended up agreeing that that's where we were going to go, with one exception. The exception was that NIST doesn't have a certification methodology. ISO does. And in our contracts, some clients say we want you to be ISO certified. Okay, so we'll still have to maintain ISO until NIST gets around to doing some kind of a certification process. But the common language is NIST, CSF. As we got to that agreement, the secondary agreement we did was we decided on a minimum baseline standard. Here is what we absolutely have, no matter what size your company are. These are the controls. These are the functional areas that we have to be prepared to deal with. There is no exception. And as you might know, the word mandatory in English and Japanese is not the same. I don't care what anybody says. You have to be very specific in other languages about mandatory. So we have been rewriting and recategorizing certain things in our overall NTT global policies, procedures, and our principles to accommodate for that. That's a change that's going to be occurring. Then we'll implement and have been implementing the NIST standard common language. At the same time, saying, okay, here's the baseline. We've got a set of controls. We've got a set of governance processes. You're going to implement these no matter what. The challenge in 900 companies is that one size doesn't fit all. And what I mean by that is that a small company that doesn't have the security professionals or the budget or the solutions already in play are going to have a difficult time. So they have to get funding from somewhere. The bigger companies, operational companies, make adjustments based on their financial plan. So it's much easier in the sense of financial capabilities to do that. We had to talk about how we were going to fund the smaller companies because we're all connected on the same global area network. When you talk about having gaps, the smaller companies might be more of an issue for us than our larger companies. There might be holes in those systems. We take that minimum baseline standard and say, here are the seven areas that you need to focus in on right away. These are so critical that we need to get them done right now. We'll figure out how to do them. But everybody agreed on the approach, the minimum baseline standards and what the priorities are. Now what we're doing is saying, okay, what solutions can we harmonize? For example, in our SIM technology, we have many SIMs working in our environment. We want to get to one. Why? Because we want to correlate and have a single dashboard for our global CISO to say, here's what the risk scenarios look like. As we talk through this, there's a lot of challenges. So we've implemented a couple of solutions, but now we're in a holding pattern. As Matt Jide consolidates within entity security, we're going to leverage his solutions moving forward. And then we'll prioritize those based on risk. Which companies go first? You can't do 900 companies at once. And a lot of colleagues that I talk to in the Global Fortune 100, and they understand exactly what I'm saying. They understand what that means. We've got to be very careful. One final point before you get to the next question is that IT and security have to be aligned. I have a counterpart at the global level in IT that's working on IT standards, and we're formulating a plan that walks together. If they decide to upgrade or change a solution, that immediately affects security by design. So we have to be involved in that decision. 5 years ago, that was immature. Today, I have a direct counterpart. We talk every single week, and that's how we're moving forward to handle some of the issues that come through 900 companies.
But within those 900 companies, you have a schism point. If we were to look at a large multinational, they'd have Asia Pacific, EMEA, North America, South America. They might have one or two other regions within that. But NTT has this Japanese home base. Japan stays separate from all the other mergers and bringing together. How difficult is it then to convince all the other companies in all the other regions that they're going to go to a global standard and then match that to exactly what's going on in Japan so you have a true global standard rather than, at the end of the day, still ending up with two entities?
Let me start out by saying it's definitely a challenge. Anybody that's in a position, as I'm in, where we're trying to harmonize those security solutions within the company, have the challenge of how do we take the 13 major operating companies that NTT has, for example, and say, okay, we're going to do this. What happens in NTT is there's what we call the NTT CISO Security Committee. That committee is where the major decisions are done. Each of those 13 major CISOs sit on that committee, and they get briefed. When there's a need for a decision, there is a vote or a raising of hands, yes, we agree, so on and so forth. Then it's their responsibility to ensure that their business people, their CEOs, et cetera, are on board with those decisions. Obviously, there's a lot of political work that's done behind the scenes. We have an entire team that briefs those CISOs. They go back to their individual operating companies, and then it has to cascade down to all those subsidiaries. That's how we manage that approval process. We have an overarching principle in normal terms. That's going to be your standardization, your policy. Everybody signs off on that. And then from that, there's different structures, different standards, if you will, that come out of that overarching policy. Some are adjusted based on business because we're diversified. So it's not just telecom. It's not just IP networks. It's a bunch of different stuff, including financial and real estate and VC. There's all kinds of things within that organizational structure that we have to worry about. The businesses are not the same. So there has to be some flexibility, but I want to reiterate this. The overarching principle and standard, the communication taxonomy, is based on NIST, and that's the way we're going to market.
If I stay with the military analogy for a minute, with 13 units, and if we look at a military perspective, we'd see that as 13 battle groups. And many of those other 900 companies would fit into those, providing logistics and support and everything else. But there'd be an awful lot of shared and overlap between the different battle groups. What you're trying to do is smash 13 battle groups into one. Now, that means you've got to have not just a single SIM across everything, but you've got to have cohesion of training, of understanding, of lines of control. And you've got to do that without being top-heavy with management and too complex at the top end, because otherwise nothing will get done. Even looking at it from just a security perspective, how do you break through that?
The example you gave, I'm going to make a slight correction because, first of all, in the transformation process that we're going through, we're separating out the international business from the domestic Japan business as well. And that transformation means that we have several operational companies now that fall under either domestic or international operations. That takes away some pressure, not all, certainly, but it takes away some pressure because now we have to ensure that those two organizational businesses are operating in tandem in the same security taxonomy and the same operational components. And what you are getting at now is really the next challenge, and that is, do we consolidate shared services in, say, security, HR, it could be any of the functional areas, but do we centralize and standardize those and harmonize those to where we can gain certainly a cost reduction, limit the management necessary to manage our risk, and so on and so forth? I think the short answer is yes. Are we there today? No. We still operate on somewhat of a standalone process in our operational companies. Don't get me wrong, that's good for now because we're in the process of transformation. We have to come to realization as executives that we really need to start taking a look at what makes sense to have in a shared services format, certainly what we can automate in the security space. That's where NTT Security is going to come into play. What products can they put together? What automation can they put together that we can start removing some of the duplication within multiple environments? We're on the right track to do that. Maybe we'll talk 6 months from now and I can give you an update, but that's as much as I can say about where we're at.
Part of all of this is going to have to be a digital transformation of how all those businesses work. One of the big failure points that I see regularly as an analyst and as a journalist is companies who think digital transformation is about the IT team, technology, and maybe some security. The business is often sidelined. What the business wants might be taken into account, but actually the business isn't seen as being the owner or the driver of that whole transformation project. How do you change that? Because, again, we come back to this problem of culture and the number of companies. How do you take all those businesses and how they operate and they run and not just put IT and security in lockstep, but get the business in lockstep with them so that you do this once and that we're not having this conversation in 10 years' time?
Yeah, that's another, obviously, a difficult challenge. The way we're operating today, and this could be adjusted as we move forward with the digital transformation, but it's not just digital, it's the overall transformation, it's the harmonization of security solutions. So the digital transformation, security is right now a part of that discussion. That's the first thing. You got to be part of the discussion. The second thing is, and I get blowback a lot from my colleagues at CISOs at my level, and I talk about the separation of the IT and the security organizations. Some of them still think that security should report underneath the CIO. I disagree with that fundamentally for a lot of different reasons. But right now, the key is that the CISO and CISO, no matter what the organizational structure is, and the CTO have to be in lockstep. And in lockstep, what I mean is that security must be embedded in the decisions that they're making as it relates to technology choices, number one. Number two, in a digital transformation, you're the most vulnerable as a company when you start breaking down your controls in order to put new stuff in. And the problem usually ends up being that we forgot to put the controls back in place, or we forgot to turn on the configurations for the security pieces because you're too worried about making it work versus making it secure. Sometimes those are competing issues as it relates to implementations. If you talk through that for a minute, it's really about making sure that you're coordinating the efforts, that security is involved in discussion. Frankly, there are points where I disagree with my counterpart, but we have to work those out. And in some cases, it then ends up to be a risk decision for the business. As it relates to the business has to be informed, but they also have to inform us. In a company the size of NTT, which is about $110 billion in revenue, there's a lot of business decisions are made on a daily basis. Do we acquire? Do we not acquire? Do we enter into a partnership? Do we resell? Do we not resell? We're talking about a lot of those decisions every day within every individual business and their functions that they do. They have to be very clear to the security organization on what they're going to decide to do. It does impact on our decision-making process. The way we're trying to get our arms around that is we have CISOs in all the 13 operational companies. Underneath those, they each have CSOs in the subsidiaries. We try to roll up the risk requirements and the business requirements together and keep the overall leadership of the NTT CISO informed of what's going on. That's a big challenge just because of sheer size. In some cases, we'll defer to the 13 individual operating companies with the functional businesses because the risks are different for each business. The risk appetite is different for each business. What are they willing to accept? Those business requirements have to be consolidated and sent up the chain, and that's how we're managing right now. The question is, are we going to have the flexibility to continue once we complete the digital transformation to maintain that? Right now, it's part of the digital transformation as a functional thing that we need to do, just like communication. You have to do HR. All those things have to have inputs. The question is, once we complete our end goal, are we going to be able to maintain that? That's still something that's out there. We'll have to find out. I don't know.
You mentioned risk. One of the things we've seen with mega mergers is that part of that process is never really to do a full security audit of a unit you're acquiring. No matter how much work you put into these 900 plus companies, they are not all going to be gold standard. They are going to have to deal with a lot of issues, giving up control, what happens with processes, data privacy, data sovereignty. All of these things are areas that can break any plan into little pieces. How do you set about, as you bring things together, to put a full testing, verification, compliance, controls framework in place that looks at each of those 900 plus companies as they join together, but then becomes a continual assessment because bringing things together can open little doors? Let's just ask Marriott about Starwood, how badly that can go. It's a very good reminder to us of how simply we can get this wrong.
Yeah, and certainly that's at the top of mind because the overall security program for the entity corporation is risk-based. That's a central issue. What we're doing on the individual companies right now is allowing them to assess their risk appetite, what those risks are, and roll those up to their senior companies until it gets up to the CISO committee level. And then inherently, we have four or five risks that are the same across all the businesses. We attack those with risk mitigation strategy. That's a simplistic answer to how we're going to do it. I think more importantly, we need to talk about the maturity levels of each of those companies. You're only as strong as your weakest link. When I talk about NTT and the variance of companies and sizes, we have to really think we could put in a security control, for example, that brings a small company to their knees. They just can't handle it. Or we can provide services that help mitigate certain risks as a compilation of all the company's risks. As we do that, we need to understand what maturity of those individual companies are. At some point soon, we're going to have to do some kind of overall maturity assessment. I know you'll get a lot of comments about this as soon as they hear this. Oh, you can't do a maturity assessment on 900 companies. It's impossible. Absolutely right. You're correct. It's impossible to do that. You have to do it in chunks. You can't eat the whole elephant. But at the same time, it has to be done. You can't avoid doing that. And we're not quite at the point where I'm ready to recommend, hey, we need to do these assessments. Now, we have assessment capability within our organizational structure, primarily with NTT Security. That consulting arm will be the go-to. We're not talking compliance here. We're talking security. And for anybody that's listening out there, compliance is not the same as security. If I'm going to go out and assess, I can use my own capability to do that. I don't have to use a third party because of independence and all that stuff that maybe compliance has to worry about. I want to assess the security maturity. I can use my own resources to do that. Actually, it's going to be easier for me to do that because there's already been trust because it's an NTT branded company. And so we'll be able to do a little bit more. On the Japanese domestic side, there's a trust factor involved there. So we'll leverage our Japanese portion of the companies to do some of these things for them. We have a plan to do that. It's not going to be easy. Certainly, you can't do it all at once. We have to do chunks. Depending on the risk appetites, the risk landscape of each of those companies, that'll determine which ones we go after first. Because if we have a bad risk profile in a company, we're going to want to mitigate that risk fairly quickly. So we'll want to put that at the head of the line, if you will, to do that. Time-wise, I'm not sure how long it will take, but we're not going to get all this done in 3 weeks, for example. It's a long time. And oh, by the way, it's going to change because guess what? We're doing a digital transformation, a business transformation, all at the same time, and things are going to change. Risks are going to change. One's going to be mitigated by a digital transformation architectural change, for example, and that goes away, but something else creeps up because now there's a different risk involved. It is a challenge, and we are trying to do the best we can to manage that risk in a way that makes sense.
I'm really glad I don't have to do your job. Thank you for talking with me, John.
May I plug on my book?
You may take a plug on your book.
I appreciate that. So in October, I released a book. It's not a security book, incidentally. It's more about leadership. More importantly, when I was coming up in this profession, I didn't have anybody that said, hey, you know, you should probably think about this or think about that, or here's a lesson learned that you don't want to repeat. I came up through the military like you did. I tried to go from my experiences as a private in the U.S. Marine Corps to when I became a CEO. What were the things that I did to get there? What mistakes did I make? Tried to be pretty open and honest. That's important for our future CISOs. If you have aspirations to be there, I encourage you to take a look at that book on Amazon. Thank you very much, Ian. Appreciate it.
Thank you.